This is the Australia Report with Vic Aladev. Good day, mate.
Vic Aladev, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. Well, thank you. Just having a quiet chuckle at that last episode.
Yeah, welcome to our mad world. Either way, before we talk about some of the other stories going on in Australia, what is happening with the floods? It sounds very, very scary.
You'd think that this was Pesach all over again. First there was the fires, then there was the plague, as in the COVID, and now there's the floods. It's like biblical conditions here. So we've had 4 days of torrential rain. The forecast is that rain will continue during the week, but looks like hopefully it is lessening. And so it's mainly in areas in and around Sydney and then all along the eastern coast. And the eastern coast of the country is Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane. So it's most of the major cities are on the eastern coast. And that's where this massive band of cloud cover and rain is happening. So yes, it still continues.
Well, let's just hope that everybody remains safe. It's very, very concerning when you hear this type of news. Let's talk about the Ukrainian Rebbitzin. She's returned home to Sydney. Tell us about this.
So we spoke about it before, a month into this horrendous war, Russia-Ukraine. And her name is Miriam Moskovitz, and she comes from Sydney. She and her husband have been heading up Chabad in the city called Kharkiv in Ukraine for the last 30 years. And a month after the war began, when bombs landed right next to her kindergarten and shattered windows, etc., and it got terrifyingly close, she and her husband and their half a dozen children fled to Israel. And now, a few days ago, she came back to Sydney to reconnect with family. She's a graduate of Moriah College here in Sydney, and she's been spending a little bit of time here in Sydney and just talking about the horrific conditions there. She said from a Jewish community of 25,000 in Kharkiv, there are now just 10,000 left, and they try to maintain their Judaism, etc., but obviously under horrific conditions. She said that tanks came into their city, into Kharkiv. The tanks were beaten back by Ukrainians, but then the bombing came back again, and which prompted a whole lot of people to leave. So she said they hope to go back, but again, qualifying that by saying, reminding that she does have half a dozen young children, and so obviously to take young children back into a war zone, you know, is not something which she would want to do. So pretty sobering, and standing here in Sydney and saying, you know, I just cannot believe that while I'm standing here on the other side in my country, we are getting bombed and killed. So pretty sobering to hear firsthand from someone who's just come directly, well, indirectly from there.
Absolutely terrible, but important nevertheless to talk about these things, and that she can bring this news back to Sydney and talk about what people are experiencing there, because it's sometimes very difficult to relate to.
Indeed, exactly right. And the tragedy is that there's no visible end to this terrible war.
Absolutely not. Sydney art benefactor confirmed as a former Nazi. So we started talking about this. Tell us the developments here.
That's right. We started talking about this when an allegation was made. Well, just to go back a step. So this is a person who immigrated to this country from Lithuania 70 years ago, so 1950. And he wrote in his report that he had ethnic German parents, but he was Lithuanian, etc., and established a massive art collection, so much so that the art gallery, this is just outside Sydney, established a major hall in his name. He was such a major benefactor of art. He obviously acquired a lot of money. And then one of the local councillors made an allegation that this person was a former Nazi. And so the local council in this area, it's called Wollongong, just outside Sydney, tasked the Sydney Jewish Museum, which is essentially Holocaust Museum, with conducting a formal inquiry into this person's past. And it has now emerged that indeed he was a member of the Nazi security services. He was a collaborator. He was involved while he himself, according to the finding, did not personally commit murder. His wartime position within the SS, no less, made him complicit in the Holocaust and other terrible crimes. So it's a very quite a interesting finding, to say the least. And now this art gallery is going to take down his name, will stop continuing to honor him as this major benefactor. And interestingly as well is that the local council has reached out to the Sydney Jewish Museum and to now talk about having some educational programs going in both directions, etc. So, you know, full credit to this one councillor, former councillor, who somehow cottoned onto the fact that this person wasn't just the Mother Teresa who he claimed he was.
Absolutely unbelievable. And finally, trial continues of 5 former students suing the state and the school for years of anti-Semitic abuse.
So we spoke about this, and the trial is continuing. Eventually, it's a 4-week trial, so it's coming to its conclusion. And this is 5 former Jewish, I mean, still Jewish, but 5 people who were students at a public school in Melbourne, suing the school, the principal, and the state of Victoria itself. Victoria is the state where Melbourne's located. And they're charging them with 7 years of anti-Semitic abuse, which they say was never dealt with. And in the latest evidence in the last couple of days in the court, they're talking about over 100 swastikas daubed on lockers, bathrooms, fences, books, knives on their throat, etc. Now, interestingly, the principal has acknowledged in the court that, yes, I didn't actually apologize for what happened, and now perhaps I acknowledge that perhaps I should have. But it's important also to say that he flatly denies the allegations that there were 100, etc., swastikas and others. And so the trial continues, but it's certainly drawing close to its conclusion. And it's just getting a lot of extensive coverage, you know, in the media.
So I was going to ask you that. What kind of coverage is this getting outside of the Jewish circles?
So it is getting coverage just because it's the state of Victoria itself is being sued as well, as the school, as well as the principal. And it's 5 former students. So they now are all young men in their early 20s. So it's not like this just happened last week. So this is coming back with a very considered court case against the school. And also non-Jewish students have given evidence as well supporting what the Jewish students are alleging. So it's coming to its conclusion. And the important thing is, as you said yourself, just really important for those who might be like-minded to realize that there is no statute of limitations, you know, on such horrific behavior, assuming that it is as has been alleged.
And that the schools need to take responsibility, that it really is something that you can't brush under the carpet. Those days are gone, really.
Well, exactly. And as we've discussed before in this program, it comes down to leadership. And if the leadership of any institution looks the other way, well, then absolutely it's going to continue to happen. And vice versa, if it makes clear that we will not stand for this, well, then it's far less likely to happen.
Absolutely right. Vic Aladef bringing you the Australia Report, as it does every Tuesday.